Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. So glad to share the word with you today. God's for you. He's with you. He's right there. Just call out to him. He's so good and he cares about you. I want to encourage you today with one of my stories from my own spiritual walk with God. I remember years ago working at the old Sacred Heart Hospital, and my typical routine was to get lunch quickly and then go for a walk through that beautiful community there on Seton Drive. And I remember on one occasion going out for a walk on my lunch break, just talking with God. And it's a great spiritual practice just to walk and speak with the Lord. He loves you, and he wants to be close to you. And I remember on this particular day, I was walking through the neighborhood, and I felt these words deep in my heart so clearly. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was God's word to my heart, and it was this: chase me. And it was a joyful chase me. And at that moment, I saw two birds just dart over my shoulder, moving quickly, just turning and spinning, and it was almost as if they were playing tag with each other. And I just saw them make so many incredible maneuvers and just dart off through the community there. And that always stuck with me: God's joyful invitation to chase him. God is longing for us to be so close and to run with him and to enjoy his presence and to follow him through this world. This world shouldn't be boring. It should be a glorious dance with God through this world. That's so exciting, you know. And it became that image became a metaphor of discipleship for me, just a picture of discipleship. You know, this is what discipleship should look like: chasing God, you know, playing tag, going through life, just enjoying his presence and following him just as close as we can. And so I'd like to give an invitation. What if, you know, this is a great question. What if you received an invite from Jesus to come and stay with him for the next 30 days? It's just an incredible thought to come and stay with Jesus. But I believe that's exactly what he's inviting us to. I believe Jesus is saying in the Spirit, spend 30 days with me. Bring me into everything: your conversations, rest, fun, ministry. Let's do ministry together. And your life will never be the same. Come do it with me. Chase me. And I believe if we do that, if we take Jesus up on that invitation to spend the next 30 days with him, it'll be a marker in our lives where from that point on, our lives will never be the same. Our lives will be forever changed. And I believe that this season that we're in is a season of preparation. God's getting ready to do amazing things in the earth. He's going to bring a worldwide revival such as the world has never seen. People are going to get to know him. They're going to begin to follow him. And we're going to see a brand new world. And this is a time of preparation as we get ready for that. And I believe Jesus is inviting us to play tag, to chase him, to get close, to spend time with him. You know, recently, one of my personal heroes, Ravi Zacharias, passed away. And I watched one of his last sermons. He was a great hero of mine in the faith, and he mentioned in one of his last sermons that he had the opportunity to be there for just one of the events in Jesus's life, it would be a tough decision. He said he'd love to be there for one of two events: the Transfiguration, where Jesus was completely transformed before his disciples and they saw him and just his glory, you know, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, or two, the road to Emmaus, where Jesus walked the disciples through the entire Old Testament and connected all the dots about himself and how he could find Jesus there all throughout the Old Testament. And I completely agree with him. Those would be two incredible things to see. But I would love to see Jesus in action in these passages that I'm going to read to you today as well. And I'm going to start in Luke chapter 7 and verses 1 through 5. And this was about a two-day trip of the disciples chasing God, chasing Jesus. And so Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Now when he, that's Jesus, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, He entered Capernaum. This was home base for Jesus. This is where he did so much of his ministry and his miracles, and kind of where he chose to be a mission base for him. And he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. And so here's Capernaum, home base for Jesus. He's done so many powerful things here, so many miracles. And now a Roman officer, slave, is sick. And Luke, the physician, tells us he's not only sick, but he's near death. He's ready to die over this sickness. Now, most Romans despise Jews. And so it's very interesting that this Roman centurion has reached out to the Jews. And we find that this man was a God-fearer, that he was a Gentile who feared God and wanted to know God. And here's the truth, that Jewish elders are begging Jesus to come and do ministry, but we know you don't have to beg Jesus. He really wants to help. And so I want to say that to you today. You don't have to beg Jesus into your situation. He wants to help you, and he will. He'll help you. And so the story continues. Then Jesus went with them in verse 6. Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I do not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And so this is an incredible statement here by this centurion. He says, just say the word. And it's a voice-activated miracle. I just say the word, Jesus, and it'll happen. You know, Jesus is almost there to his home. He's almost to the door. And the centurion realizes he's coming. He's almost here. Wow. And he sends his servant out just to say, just tell him to send the word. I'm not worthy to have him enter my home. And so we have this voice-activated miracle. And so I think about Jesus here, and I think about the centurion. Now, the centurion is a warrior. He's a high-ranking Roman soldier, and he's picturing his army. And he's picturing those soldiers under his authority. And he has a very strong visual. He sees his soldiers in formation. And he knows something about authority. And he knows how things get done in his world. And at the same time, he's heard stories about Jesus. He's heard stories about this great spiritual leader, this great spiritual warrior, Jesus, and the miracles that he's done. He's seen... He's heard these things about Jesus, and he pictures Jesus in his mind, I'm sure. And then he looks and sees this man whom he loves struggling under this evil, struggling under this sickness, and he knows he's near death. And he has this visual of his loved one right in front of him. And he envisions Jesus, and he envisions Jesus's heavenly army. And Jesus is the Lord of hosts, a great warrior, the Lord of heaven's armies. And he pictures Jesus as a man of authority, as a leader with much authority. And he says, just say the word. And as the people tell him, you know, he's come, he's almost here. He tells Jesus to just say the word. And I'm sure when he can just picture as Jesus says the word, Jesus releasing those under his authority, you know, these healing angels, these warrior healing angels, who come and move in power and bring breakthrough. And in that, there's such great faith and there's such understanding of authority. And so this Gentile who's a God-fearer, who hasn't been given all the teaching that those whom Jesus has been investing in, he gets it. And he says, Jesus is, he's got great authority, and there are, he is a man of great authority. We actually know he's God. He's both God, fully God and fully man, and a person under great authority, and he has power to release change in the earth, to release miracles in the earth, to bring a breakthrough in our situations. And I love these words in verse 9 of Luke chapter 7. When Jesus heard these things, when he heard about how this Roman, this Gentile was going about understanding the situation that he was in, when Jesus heard about how he was understanding the situation, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He was amazed. You know, he marveled at him. He turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. He was amazed. The New Living Translation says Jesus was amazed. And in Luke, many people were amazed up to this point, but Jesus hadn't been amazed yet. And this is the first time in Luke we find that Jesus was amazed. And he was amazed at this man's understanding of authority and this man's understanding of faith and his understanding of Jesus and who Jesus is. Do you have that same understanding of Jesus and who he is as this man had? And so it's such a powerful time. This is a moment that we shouldn't forget, the moment that Jesus was amazed at the faith of a person here in this story. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled. He was amazed. And it tells us that this, in verse 10, that this man was completely healed. In verse 10, and those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. They returned home, and can you believe it? The man was completely well. He was near death, and now he's completely well. He was on the verge, life and death. This is a life and death situation. And they returned home just a short walk, and the man was completely well. Jesus released healing. He released power. He changed the atmosphere. He changed everything because he has great authority and great power. And we need to recognize that today. We need to have that kind of faith that Jesus marveled at. You know, it's an incredible story. Now, in verse 11, we find another incredible story. Now, I want you to think about Jesus' invitation, chase me. These are back-to-back incredible stories, real-life true stories where people are following Jesus. They're chasing Jesus, and they're seeing amazing things. Jesus invites us to chase him. In verse 11, it says, now it happened the day after. The day after, you know, 2 days, spending 2 days with Jesus. Can you imagine this weekend with Jesus, let's call it, in verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Now this is about a 20-mile hike from Capernaum. I don't know, Capernaum's on the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if Jesus, you know, he made 10 miles by boat and then walked the other 10 miles, or if he walked the entire 20 miles. If he did, he was in great shape. This is 2 days where you're not only chasing Jesus spiritually, but physically and getting in great shape, which is something that God loves. But verse 11, now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. This is about a 20-mile trip. And many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. And so the next day, soon after, little less than 20 miles, Jesus' invitation stands, chase me. And a Kairos moment happens. There's two crowds. There's the crowd following Jesus entering the city of Nain. There's a crowd coming out of the city of Nain. In these processions, the widow would lead the pack on this at this funeral procession. A young man's being carried out. A large crowd is gathered. And these two crowds are getting closer and closer. Jesus leading one, a widow leading the other, who's weeping and who's just lost her son. Such a sad moment in her life. And Jesus is there, and she's there, and she's in a scary place. I just want you to think about this widow for a moment. She's lost her husband. Now she's lost her only son, this young man. And in a male-dominated world at this time, she was in a very dark and scary and vulnerable place. And I'm sure she was asking, how would she live? How would she make it? And she's in darkness, and she's coming out of the city of Nain, and Jesus is coming towards the city of Nain, and they're getting ready to meet. And Jesus has solutions. He has answers. He has hope for her. He has hope for you. Whatever you're struggling with today, Jesus has a solution. He's on the way. He's drawing close, and he's for you. In verse 13, it says this, you know, when the Lord saw her, and the Lord sees you, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. You know, this is such an important verse for us to get a hold of. We can't just glance at this and keep going. Jesus had compassion for her. He was moved deep within. That's what compassion means in the original language, to be moved from deep within you. To be moved in the innermost part of your being, to be moved, you know, to have this tender compassion, this tenderness, this tender love, this heart. And this is what we have to remember. This is who God is. This is his character, the God, the one we serve. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The God we serve is a God of compassion and love. He's a God who cares. He's deeply moved with what is troubling us. He's deeply moved. That's who God is. And I love that. You know, he sees her. He has compassion. He realizes what's going on. He puts two and two together, what's happened here. And so he says to this woman, the unthinkable, don't cry. Can you imagine this woman in this situation for a stranger to come and say, don't cry. You know, don't weep. That would be unheard of. But Jesus is God in the flesh, and Jesus cares. And he wants to get involved. He wants to act in this situation. In verse 14, then he came and touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood still. He says to the woman leading the pack, don't weep, don't cry. He comes, he touches the coffin, which in the law, according to the law, would have made him unclean. Everyone shocked so much as the pallbearers stop. The procession stops. Everyone stops. Oh my goodness, he's touched the coffin. He's made him unclean. But as you know, Jesus has changed everything. He's changed the flow. He would touch lepers and lepers would be healed. He touched coffin. And rather him being affected by uncleanness, his holiness invites a miracle and completely changes the flow. And it says in verse 14, then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. He said, young man, arise, get up. He said to the mother, don't weep. He says to the young man, arise and get up. And the amazing thing is he gets up. Now, the Roman centurion in the story before, he would say, yeah, that's what's going to happen. This is a man under great authority. But somewhere, we haven't attained to that level of faith that amazes Jesus. And the faith of the Roman centurion says, yeah, he's a man under authority. The young man will arise. And Jesus wants us to believe and to chase him and to have great faith and to believe that he can make a difference. And so Jesus, as he changes the flow, he brings resurrection power into this situation. And it says that the young man stood up and he spoke. Unbelievable. I'm dying to know what he said. Don't you want to know what he said? I'd love to see this. You know, there's a tradition where when a person would pass, you know, friends of the family would come and gather some of their clothes and would wear the person who's passed. The men of the town would have possibly worn some of this young man's clothes to remember him. So friends of the family may have been even wearing some of his clothes, and some have thought maybe what he said first of all was, hey Josiah, why are you wearing my shirt? You know, hey, hold up, why are you guys wearing my clothes? You know, that kind of thing. That's funny. He could have said something like that. Or maybe he said something like this to Jesus in amazement. Thank you. Or maybe just dumbfounded. What is going on? This is weird. You know, that kind of thing. But it says that the young man arose and he began to speak. I would love to see this someday on that celestial DVD replay. You know, what did this guy say? And then some of the most tender words in Scripture, some of the most tender words and amazing words, and he presented him back to his mother. Jesus presented this young man back to his mother. Can you see it in front of these two crowds? You know, one filled with amazement, what they had experienced maybe the day before, or the things that they'd heard about. Another crowd just filled with heaviness and sadness and tears, and they meet, and Jesus is in the middle, and he changes the atmosphere, the second crowd, and there's elation, there's joy, and Scripture tells us a holy fear, even a holy fear that comes upon this crowd. He presented him to his mother. Verse 16, then fear came upon all. That's a reverence. There's this deep reverence. We've not seen anything like this before. And this is who we serve. This is the Jesus that we serve. He raised others. He raises people today. You know, if you'd like to hear, see an incredible story of resurrection power, you can watch the story Breakthrough. It's the story of how Jesus brought a boy back to life that they've made a movie from. And it's an incredible story. I won't ruin it for you, but check that out. The movie Breakthrough. And Jesus is still doing miracles today. Incredible things. And I'm pretty sure that each of us, we're underestimating Jesus right now. When I read these stories, I'm almost certain I'm underestimating Jesus and what he's capable of doing. I'm underestimating what Jesus can do in this day in which we live. I'm underestimating what Jesus can do in our culture. I'm underestimating what Jesus can do this very day that we're living. And he could do so much more. And I want to have a greater faith. I encourage you, let's pray for faith. Let's pray for a deeper faith. And let's remember compassion. We should just pause when we read the words that Jesus had compassion. We should pause and celebrate that our God is not an angry God. He's not impossible to please. People have painted him in the wrong way. Our God, the one true God, is a God of compassion, a God of love, and he cares. Compassion is, as we're pressing in as a church into the priesthood of all believers, we're pressing in that God wants to, the truth that God wants to use each of us in such incredible ways. And as we press into that truth, we've got to remember that at the core of our leadership, at the core of our authority as the priesthood of all believers, at the core of the truth that every member, every Christ follower is a minister, at the very core, we have to remember that compassion belongs there in the center. Compassion is so important to leadership. It's so important to ministry. It means everything. We talk about compassion. We talk about love. But in all honesty, sometimes it falls further down the list when we think about a leader. But compassion is what Jesus carried, and it made all the difference. It made all the difference. His compassion, it was the core of his ministry. And so let's get recentered as Christians today, and compassion. That's what we need more than anything else, the love of God that's moving through us in compassion. And so in verses 16 and 17, again, then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. I love that. You know, then fear came upon all. They glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Went throughout all Judea and all surrounding region. So what was the reaction? The reaction of this God moment, this Kairos moment, was reverence. It was a holy fear. It was praise. You know, it was this truth that news began to spread. News began to spread rapidly throughout their known world. You know, at the kids' marble matches, at the docks, you know, on the mountain peaks, at the wine press, at the mill, you know, at the family table, at the community well. You know, this news was spreading about Jesus, about God in the flesh, about God with us. God is visiting his people in Jesus. And so the news needs to spread. If not now, when? You know, the news about God needs to spread. Will you help spread the news? Will you help spread the good news about Jesus? You know, if not now, when? People need the good news of Jesus. And really simply, the way this was happening at the wells and at the family table, at all throughout this area that Jesus was working in, all throughout that area, this is how it spread, and with words like these. Can I tell you what I saw Jesus do? Can I tell you what Jesus has done for me? Can I tell you my story? And you know, that's the way it gets started. That's the way to start fires in the kingdom, the fires of the Holy Spirit, fires of his presence. Can I tell you a story? Can I tell you what God has done? Can I tell you what Jesus is doing in the earth? Can I tell you how he's moving in my life? Can I tell you what he's done for me in my past? Can I tell you my story? And I want to encourage you today, tell your story. And as you do, you're joining the movement of the Holy Spirit upon the earth. You know, and in those moments when we say, can I tell you my story? It's almost as if God is saying, tag, you're it. It's your turn to share the good news. Tag, you're it. Join me in ministry. And so I'd love to encourage you, tell your story this week. Tell your story about how God's moving, what he's doing. Be encouraged. God is on the move. He loves you, and he's right there with you. Come and join us when you're feeling comfortable. We're meeting at church, 3 small services, 9:15, 11:15, 2 p.m., and God's been faithful at each one, and he's blessing. And so, or continue to visit us online, and please know we're praying for you, and we miss you. We love you. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for family. Thank you that as believers we're family. And Lord, we just ask, Abba Father, that you would fill us with your power, that you would use us, that you would fill us with your spirit. And Jesus, we want to spend the next 30 days with you in such a powerful, close relationship. Show us how to go deeper, to draw near, and to truly know you. And I ask that blessing over everyone watching, the blessing of truly knowing Jesus. We love you, God. Use us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you.